Welcome to our first Northwest Herald football podcast. We plan on making this a regular feature at nwherald.com each week. You'll be able to download it from the iTunes Store, Google Play, and Stitcher. I'm Joe Stevenson from the Northwest Herald, and also hosting with me is our sports editor, John Steiff. Our first guest is Crystal Lake Central head football coach, John McLaughlin, and he has with him today offensive line coach, Steve Spoden, and senior running back, Vinny May. The Tigers were 4-5 last season, returned some key players for an offense that will look quite different this season. Coach McLaughlin was 29-29 in his first stint with the Tigers. That was from 2004 through 2009. And while that record might not look remarkable, their progress was. In the six seasons prior to that, Central won 5 total games. And Coach McLaughlin took the Tigers to the playoff 3 times. Then his successor, Matt Frelick, took them 5 more times before he stepped down. Coach is back now. They were 4-5, just missed the playoffs last season. But, Coach, thanks for joining us. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And Coach, you've always liked the double wing and preferred running the ball. This year your team will utilize a much different look as you go with the spread. What prompted you to make that decision?
Well, I thought last year, towards the end of the year, it started to become obvious that, when you're going to run double wing, you need to have a really good fullback. You need to have 2 good wings and so on with that. And, when Romeo went down last year, that hurt us a lot. And we had other kids who could do things, but maybe not necessarily as a wing or a fullback. And, I kind of got tired of looking at 9-10 guys in the box all the time and so on, and everybody changing their defense every week to come up against us. And I wanted to go to something a little bit more where we can start dictating to the defense rather than the defense dictating us what we could do. And with that, I felt we needed to be able to run and throw the ball well, and especially going into this new conference. So, when the season wound down, I gave Steve a call, gave Dirk a call, and said, hey, you guys interested in sitting down, having a cup of coffee, and just chit-chatting, and it kind of went from there.
All right, Coach Spoden, you were involved heavily, obviously, in this transition. What's that process like to go in somewhere and change everything?
Well, we're kind of blessed because I was, at least as an offensive line coach, walking the door. I mean, you walk in, or the first person you see is Wyatt Blake. He's ranked 3rd in the state right now in his recruiting class. He's been working with me on the side at Dave Davis for a number of years previous to this, so he knew what he was doing. So I had almost an assistant coach as far as the line went to help me teach those other kids how to pass block. Pass blocking is a little bit different. And, I could sit here and bore you with all kinds of things all day, but basically when kids are little, when they start off like in a Raiders program or one of these junior tackle programs, they're being taught to go forward, forward, forward constantly. Now, with pass blocking, you're asking these kids to be aggressive going backwards. It's an oxymoron, like a jumbo shrimp, whatever. It doesn't make sense. And to have those kids learn how to do that, it takes time. It takes tons and tons and tons of reps. The transition so far has been very smooth. We've been working, I've been having Wyatt run an open gym in the morning since February. He's been teaching those other kids, basically what I would teach them anyway. And coming in this fall, obviously we're going against ourselves, but for the most part, our quarterbacks, I told Jake and Michael, I said, you need to bring one thing to practice. And they said, what? And I said, a nail file, because you'd be able to give yourself a manicure by the time I'm done with these guys in the pocket. So far, that's been the case. They have picked it up very quickly. Danny Berg has... he just started doing this since February. I have never seen a kid pick it up as quickly as he has, as far as his capacity to sit down, do it correctly, move. For a big kid, he has great feet. Across the line, even our lower levels, even the freshmen are starting to pick it up. It does take a lot of time, a lot of reps, a lot of sweat, and it really just takes a commitment by those kids. And so far, I couldn't be happier.
And Vinny, as a player in the backfield, what changes for you, and what's that process been like?
Well, transitioning from the double wing to the spread out is definitely a lot different, being the only running back in the backfield. So it definitely opens it up a lot more from the play action. So that is really going to help. I'm very excited for just the diverse look. So instead of, like Coach McLaughlin was saying, stacking the box with 10 guys, they're going to have to spread out, because we're going to be, like, if they're going to be loading the box like that, we'll be hitting them with the passing all day. And then as soon as they start to adjust to the pass, we'll hit them back with the run. So.
All right, and just to review on a couple of those names you mentioned, Jake is Jake Staples, who's going to be a junior and your quarterback. Dan Berg, left tackle. Wyatt's going to be your right tackle. What are some other names people should know on Crystal Lake Central's offense?
I'd say probably Danny Manning as receiver, Christian Crociata as receiver. You know, we have Zach Betterham as a tight end. Jesse Gutierrez is our center. He's a returner. So you're going to see quite a few, you know, quite a few different kids, but all of them are fairly, you know, fairly skilled and fairly talented at what they do.
What, Coach, what does it mean to you to have the two former Marion assistants, Steve and Dirk Stanger, who's your offensive coordinator now, had so much success and turned out so many great college players? They had four Division I quarterbacks in a row, and I forgot how many. I lost count of how many linemen Coach had while he was on Ed Brucker's staff. Well, what's it mean to have those guys with you on your staff?
It's been well. First of all, you know, I throw a Hail Mary and I got lucky and we caught a touchdown, you know, with that. But it's been great. You know, actually, not just Dirk and Steve. We have Brody Budmeyer too, who's a former Marion player. Brian Kane played at Marion. So, you know, I was joking one day that all of a sudden we're going to have Ed Brucker walk out of the cornfield out on the practice field. But it's been fantastic, and the mesh between the coaches that I had on my staff and the new guys coming in, it's blended really well, and they've actually really gotten along really well. And you know, Justin challenges Dirk, Dirk challenges Justin, and on both sides of the ball, the two of them kind of matching wits with one another. It just makes us better. You know, and, you know, some days the offense gets better than the defense. Sometimes the defense gets better than the offense. But as long as we're controlling those things and working to get better and challenging one another, then that's just going to make us better. But I guess going back to answer your question, I'm extremely happy to have them both, and it's been fantastic.
We've talked a lot about the offense. Is the defense the same, or has things changed?
Well, we have pretty much we're fairly multiple on defense, but we're an aggressive defense. And we like to, you know, Justin likes to get after the offense, bring different types of pressure on, whether it's run pressures, pass pressures, you know, scheming things. You know, he does things a little bit different, but it's kind of based a lot on what Wisconsin Whitewater did. And Wisconsin Whitewater had a lot of success in, you know, with Division III national championships and so on. So that's where it originates from.
Vinny, in your role, I mean, you carried the ball a lot last year. You might even get it more and get to catch some more passes. How do you like the new offense with what you'll be asked to do?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I've been working extremely hard in the off season. Coaches were very clear with what they were expecting of me, so I was able to prepare accordingly. So I'm ready and very excited.
All right, this off season, a lot of the landscape of high school football in McHenry County has changed with the new KRC conference. The Woodstock's going over to that, and the Fox Valley then gets a big change too, in that now, what is it, nine teams?
Yeah.
So you play eight conference games. No matter what your size is, you're playing everybody every year, and then you have one non-conference game. How does that change things for, you know, some of the smaller schools that have to play Cary Grove and Huntley and those larger schools, or the schools that have won consistently, you know, every year? They're on your schedule now.
You know, it's definitely a challenge in terms of the way the conference is set up right now. But, you know, prior to that, you know, I think out of the Fox division, we're one of the – maybe us and Prairie Ridge, we're one of the two schools that had any degree of success against the other side of the conference year in, year out. You know, we've played McHenry. We've played Jacobs. You know, we've played these schools and have had success against them. It's just we haven't had to consistently play them week in, week out for a number of years. But with that, I changed up the offense because I wanted to be a little bit different than everybody else. You know, Prairie Ridge is an option team. Hampshire's primarily a passing team. I wanted to be good at both. So that's why we kind of went to the spread. So, it's a different preparation for other people rather than, here's what we do. We're a double wing, you know, and that type of thing. It's going to give people multiple looks on offense. And, we just want to be good running and throwing the ball.
Coach, you're going to turn the offense over to Dirk, and a lot of head coaches will either run like the defense or the mm-hmm. offense. So you will be doing neither. You'll just be the head coach. How will that benefit you being able to just oversee everything this year?
Well, without this, big picture wise, besides being a head football coach, I'm also a full-time social studies teacher, and I teach, five periods a day, and to try to sit down and, during the day or whatnot and try to break down film or game plan or things like that, maybe 20 years ago I'd be able to do that, but not today with all the, we got to get done in the classroom as a teacher and with test scores, things like that. It allows me to take a little bit of that off my plate and kind of delegate that to Dirk and Justin. In turn, I take care of a lot of the parents, team dinners, things, the overall program things, setting up schedules, so on. And I think it's allowed me to kind of bounce back and forth during practice over to the defense side of the ball and work with Justin, over to the offensive side of the ball, work with Dirk. Jump over with Steve with the line. And I think because of that, because we're not necessarily worrying about, I got to get ready for this segment of offense or I got to get ready for this segment of defense, I can take a look at the overall practice and I can keep it pretty much clicking along and running smoothly without there being any gaps or whatever, or going over too much with offense here or too much with defense there. It's like, hey guys, you got 5 minutes, boo, 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 and just kind of keeping them on schedule and keeping practice rolling. And that's what I've been trying to do. Steve could probably answer that better. Vinny could answer that better as a player, too, if I've been successful doing that.
You know, when Coach first called, he said he talked to Dirk and I, and he said that was the role he was going to take on. And I'll tell you something, everything John has promised, he's packed up 99.999% of the time. It's been seamless. We haven't had to deal with any of the bureaucratic stuff. He just lets us go coach. And that, to me, is so nice, not having to worry about those types of issues. I mean, I'll be very frank, I have in the past. Not now. And it has been a breath of fresh air. As far as practice goes, too, it's seamless. We're going boom, boom, boom. There's no wasted time. And that is due to John making sure everybody stays on schedule, making sure where we're going from offense to defense quickly. A lot of times you'll see where we're wasting time here, wasting time there, and it has not been that case in the that case this summer. And I anticipate that going forward too. That is so nice. It allows the kids to develop quicker. It allows us coaches to not have to deal with any of the paperwork stuff and all that other good stuff. I mean, it has been a breath, like I said, a breath of fresh air, and John has just been awesome.
Vinny, what do you see with offense with Jake? And he had some – Jake Staples got to play some games, got some experience last year. What do you see with him running this offense this year from the offseason stuff you've done?
He's I'm mostly impressed with Jake, how far he's come. He's took last year. He got moved up from freshman. That's a big jump. Seeing going straight to the varsity speed, and he he came at it with heart, and now he learned it, and he came back this year with a new fire. He's really starting to take control of the team, running the offense, and he's really stepping into that role. So all the team we're behind him on this. We trust him with it.
What are the expectations for this team? You guys, unfortunately, got hit by some injuries and you missed the playoffs last year, the first time in 8 years. What are the expectations like for this season?
I'd say coaches have done a great job with, making sure we focus on the now. Every day at practice, we're like, getting here, we work hard, we don't stop. Every single play, every single rep, just keep going, and then good things will come from that. So nobody's expecting more than we are out of ourselves, but it's on a day-to-day basis rather than long-term goals.
As far as the team goes, I tell them, hey, come out every day to practice. We got to work to get better. Make sure we're going this way rather than forwards rather than backwards. And I'm constantly in there about control the controllables, and we control the things that you can control. Things like how hard you work, playing with desire, knowing what your assignment is. If you don't know, ask. Things like that, is pretty much what I've been telling them. As far as predictions, I just want to be as good as we possibly can be. I'm not going to predict we're going to be 9-0 or 0-9, but I think we're going to probably be better than 0-9. But, you never know how good you're going to be until you play that first game. In that first week, and until we line up and play Grant and see, hey, this is what we think we have, or hey, we need to fix this, we need to fix that. You really don't know, mm-hmm. Because when you're in shorts and uppers or whatever, everybody looks great, and you go out and do 7-on-7s, and everybody thinks they're a playoff team, and so on. But until we actually start hitting in playing games. We'll learn a lot once that starts to happen.
I think, too, going back to what you talked about, Ed Brucker, Ed had a great quote years ago. He said, all we need to do is go 1-0 every week. We do that for 14 weeks, and we said, okay. As far as expectations and stuff go, I agree with Vinny. We're focusing on the now. We have to. We're a new offense, all those other issues. That being said, I expect to win every week. That's another thing that I've been taught by some good coaches, by John, by Ed, by Brandon New. That's the expectation. You don't go out every week and say, you don't look at your schedule and say, we probably won't win this one, we probably won't this one. If I go into a week where I think we're not going to win, what am I doing there? All right? That being said, too, 1-0 every week is the goal, but that being said, I get awful bored on Thanksgiving weekend. I'd rather have something to do. I know that. Not saying we're going to get there, but that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
You had mentioned earlier Wyatt was the number 3 ranked guy in his class. Looking around the area, there may be 8 to 10 Division I offensive linemen. There's Dalton Wagner just committed to Arkansas today, mm-hmm. out of the KRC. And when you look at the Fox Valley, almost every team has mm-hmm. one, or right. or maybe more than one.
Yes.
What's going on with that? I know traditionally we've had a lot of offensive linemen, but it seems like right now there's even more.
I think, just for the natural progression, kids are just getting bigger nowadays. The other thing that's happened is there's more specialties. I know more specialty-type coaching going on. I've run a camp out of Davis for a number of years and had a number of those kids come and see me to work on their pass blocking. That's not because traditionally in this area the passing game has been kind of, we'll do it once in a while type of thing. And now with the advent of spread offenses, with the advent of more of a pro-style type offense at the collegiate level, you're seeing kids that are getting more and more training in that area, and I think that's what's helping them. In my personal opinion, I've gone to hundreds of camps, and the thing that I've noticed is when the linemen are running their 40s, nobody's watching. When they're doing one-on-one run blocking drills, nobody's watching. The second it goes to one-on-one pass pro, those coaches come in like locusts. They want to see who the athletes are. traditionally what you had to do when you have a big kid, you had to bring him in, redshirt him. You know, run blocking is, you know, get him in the lunchroom, then get him in a weight room. Pass blocking takes time. It takes reps over and over and over again, and somebody who knows what they're doing to teach it. If you walk in the door as a collegiate athlete, having that already, having those clubs in your bag, so to speak, you can expect to shoot better scores sooner. With Title IX and everything else that's gone over the years, these kids are, their expectation is they're going to contribute as a redshirt freshman. Because if it's between a kid, let's say you got Notre Dame recruiting two kids, one of them is ready to go, walking the door, the other one we got to develop, and they got limited scholarships, I got a feeling I know which one's going to get taken. So the capacity for those kids to get that training sooner rather than later is important. It really is. Having been to some camps this summer, it's still the case. I was up in Detroit at a camp. It was 80 or 90 kids up there. It's a sound mind, sound body. I would say out of those kids, maybe 25% of them knew what they were doing. There's, as far as that goes, a lot of kids are still getting scholarships simply because they fill out a doorway. The ones that are going to hit the field sooner, they also have the opportunity then, instead of being a free agent per se in 4 years, and all of a sudden they go in the third or fourth round because they're getting on the field sooner, they're getting game tape sooner, they get more experience sooner. That's the expectation, I think, with a lot of these college coaches, whether they say it or not. That's the truth. They want kids who are going to keep their jobs for them. It's the bottom line. It's the business end of things.
All right, Wyatt's got 5 offers now. He just got Missouri. He's got an SEC offer. He hasn't even started his junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. What is special about him that he's getting a lot of attention in that school like Missouri even says, you know, you're going to be a high offer kid?
I first coached Wyatt when he was a fourth grader, and I watched his intensity as a 10-year-old. I told his parents then that I said, that kid's a Division I lineman. They looked at me like I had 3 heads. Like, what are you talking about, coach? He's 10 years old, blah, blah, blah. I said, nope, he's going to go. Then the other kid, you know, we're talking about local linemen, that I had on the same line that year was Trevor Keegan, that's over at South. I told his parents the same thing because of his athletic ability. The thing that this area, and you know, getting back to what you said about this area, I talked to Brian Ferentz from Iowa up at that camp, and he said that McHenry County is on everybody's radar right now for linemen. And then in the process, they're picking up other kids too, receivers and stuff like that, because more people are going to more of a passing style. It's this area is in, you know, for lack of a better term, is blowing up in that regard. You're seeing more and more coaches come into this county looking for talent. I think for a lot of years, you know, even up to even 5 years ago, you saw a lot of kids going D2, even though they could have gone D1. I think the perception was that they didn't maybe play as good a competition or what have you. Now that we have kids going in the last few years, whether it be Brian Balaga or Sean Swinar or Wyatt now. I mean, I think what's happening is coaches are starting to wake at the Division I level, starting to wake up and realize there's some talent over here. Probably now more than ever. You're right. There's a ton of kids in this area that are going to be playing on Saturdays on TV someday. As far as Wyatt goes, what's causing him to have this interest? 2 words: work ethic. No one's going to outwork Wyatt Blake. No one. He may not have the greatest of abilities, but he maximizes every single one. That I can say. You know, Wyatt has been tireless. I applaud his parents' efforts in terms of getting him to camps, in terms of getting him exposure. They're doing it right as far as social media. They're putting out just enough, not too much. And that's a big part of it too. I mean, you know, having that early acclaim has helped him now, where, you know, it's starting to pay off. But he had to do all the work to get there.
You know, just to kind of jump in with what Coach is saying, just in general, from the last time when I had stepped down as coach and coming back, football in this area has changed a lot through the things that, you know, like what Alex Kube is doing, mm-hmm. Working with people. What's that, EFT?
E7.
You have, like, the 7-on-7 stuff, like Boom Football, which is going on, where kids are getting a lot of exposure. You know, the stuff with Nike, the opening, you know, Rivals has things like that. ESPN does.
NCSA.
You know, there's a number of different things out there right now where kids, you know, before you'd play football from August until October or November, and then the rest of the time was pretty much lifting weights and maybe doing a little 7-on-7 in the summertime. now it's changed where you have 7-on-7, almost like AAU teams. You know, they put together these all-star teams and they go travel all over the country and compete and so on. And then you can go to these other places like E7 and work on football-related drills to get better at that. You know, you have things like Davis where kids are going in and working on their speed and athleticism there too. So I think in general there's just more opportunities for kids to get better. You know, for like wrestling, you have like overtime, Izzy style, things like that. With volleyball for the girls, you have Fusion and Sky High around here. It's starting to go that route with football. Mm-hmm. And kids are taking advantage of it. Families are taking advantage of it. And we're starting to see this area. You're starting to see those kids.
Yeah. And I think, too, Naima coach said, I mean, I don't know who said it, but it's one of the best quotes I ever heard. And it's this. The only place that success comes before work is the dictionary. And that is something that we're trying to instill with these guys. It's something that you're seeing. I think you're seeing with you're talking about, you know, the amount of kids in this area that are getting more and more exposure. It's because they're doing it correctly. They're putting the sweat in. You know, they're banging their knuckles on some dumbbells once, you know, more than once a week. They're doing the work, and they're reaping the benefits thereof.
Things are quiet until August 8th, I believe. Now with practice. I was talking to Pat Elder at Richmond Burton Coach about a week or so ago. He said, you know, one thing that's really changed over the past 15 years is now you come in on August 8th and you've got your offensive stalled. You've got things like that set. In the past, it was like, okay, let's start football August 8th. Now it's not like that. How has that changed, and does that impact the level of overall football play?
You try to have the offense installed by that time, the defense installed, hopefully work on one or two special teams in the process over the summer. You know, with that, a lot of it depends on the level of commitment of the kids too. And, you know, over the summer you have families take vacations, do things like that. So what I try to do is I try to get our schedule out as soon as I possibly can into the parents' hands so they're not taking vacations, you know, when we're having our camp days or things like that, because, you know, if you're missing three kids here or whatever, then that kind of sets everybody back. But I would say as far as having our offense or our defense in come August 8th, we're in pretty good shape. Mm. And it's actually been a lot of fun over the summer to watch the kids go from here and just continually get better
every day.
And, you know, each 7-on-7 we did, the kids got better and improved and better and improved and better and improved. And, you know, a lot of that is, you know, I have very good staff, and at the same time, the kids have put in a ton of work too to put themselves in position to do that. So,
yeah, I think also too, in regards to that, championships, whether they're conference, state, or whatever, are not won in August. They're won January through May. If you're not working then, it's too late, in my opinion. If you're going to be successful at anything, as I said earlier, you have to put the work in. And, you know, if you have a group of kids that are dedicated to do that, and well, in our time at Marion, we always had that. You know, the Liam Kerwins and the Chris Strebblers of the world. I mean, we actually, you know, with those guys, you had to temper them, because otherwise they'd work themselves to death. It's having seen what's going on now with us, at least, I'm starting to see that change, that culture change a little bit, where the kids are starting to realize, okay, we get it. If we're going to be good, this work has to. I look at Vinny as a prime example. You know, because I did my research after I accepted the offer from John, and they said Vinny was this little short, pudgy, fullback type of kid. Well, the kid I see here right here is not him. And watching him in practice, he's going to make my lineman look awful good this year.
You mentioned you opened with Grant. In the FEC now, there's one team playing non-conference each week. Is it good to have non-conference first, or does it not matter?
Personally, I'd probably prefer to have open with a non-conference game right off the bat. Just from the fact of, you know, you can go and, you know, it's not going to make a difference whether you're a conference champion or not. But hopefully you get a good enough test in that non-conference game that you know, if something is broke, it gets exposed a little bit, or you can improve upon it and get better. But, you know, I'd prefer to have it the way we have it, where it's week one.
Does it help as far as film? And how much film do you watch on conference opponents heading in?
Sometimes, you know, right now we do our exchanges through huddle. And, you know, usually every week we exchange two films. But then as the season goes on, sometimes the opponent you played two other people that were on your schedule. And sometimes you might have four sets of films on them. And so on. And, you know, I think when you watch it, you're taking a look at, I know from a defensive side of the ball, hey, what are they doing on first down? What are they doing on second down, second and long, second and medium, second and short? Kind of break it down into that. What are they doing on hash marks? What are they doing with personnel groupings, things like that?
Tendencies.
You know, trying to find out what their tendencies are, and then trying to set up your defense that way. And, you know, one of the things, you know, with going to the new offense, too, was with watching all the film that we had with what we had been running, you know, if somebody showed a 3-4 or somebody showed a 4-3, we weren't seeing a 4-3 or a 3-4. They might go to a completely different defense. And so all the film watching you're doing is great, and you spend all week preparing for, I think we're going to see this, but you come out Friday and it's something completely different. Whereas now, I think teams are going to, you know, they're going to have to play it a little bit more honest. And, you know, you're checking how many guys are in the box, what are they doing, covering up the people that are out on the edge, that type of thing. So it's you know, for me, it's been great because I've learned a lot, too, in the process. But I just think it'll give us a better look, a better chance to compete.
Yeah. Well, I think Wyatt was talking about how some of the teams last year, when he was on offense, were the defense, and it was smart. They were having their defensive lineman chop his legs, doing almost a chop block on him. I said, well, that's good. I hope they do that again this year, because you'll be 2 yards back in a kick step when we're throwing the ball. I hope they do that. Yeah. You can wave to them as they get up. You know, so I agree with Coach. What it does is it forces defenses to be much more honest in their approach. Mm-hmm. If they want to stack eight in a box, please feel free, because that means one of our four receivers is open every play.
And that, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, I wanted to go to that type of an offense or whatnot. But generally, whenever you go to a new offense and you try to install it, there's usually you go through growing pains and so on. And, you know, part of the deal, you have to learn to troubleshoot what people are throwing at you. So I wanted to go after someone who had success running the style of offense that I kind of envisioned and so on. And, you know, Dirk and Steve were both over at St. Fighter, but, you know, I made a phone call and they're here now. So I'm excited about that.
Vinny, how happy are your buddies that are receivers?
Extremely, extremely happy. Yeah. Last year with, like, the powerhouse offense we ran, looking into my senior year without knowing that this radical change is going to happen, and as I'm looking around at my teammates, I'm like, I got a lot of skinny, fast, and athletic kids, not short, like, built, stocky. Like, these kids can run, and, like, it's good offense for the personnel that we have, and I know everyone on the team is excited for it.
All right, Joe, now we have dead air and we're all looking at each other. I think that means we have to wrap it up. I want to thank these guys for coming into the studio today. And we'll be back hopefully every week this fall with a new podcast for you. Again, you can catch it on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. I still don't know what that is, but you'll catch it on there.